Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
So I'd like, if possible, one of your best credit scores, please.
And so we're leveraging something called open banking to more accurately and fairly measure a wider range of people such that they can apply for these products.
Just remember to pay it back in full and avoid paying interest. Credit scores matter because the higher your score is, the better the range of deals you'll have access to.
With open banking, you've got this great opportunity to take ownership of your data.
We're sure you can't give me one of those sweet 999 credit scores. It can't be done.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, why does your credit score matter?
So, what's on the Money Bites agenda this week? Well, later on, me and Mike will be talking you through our five top tips to improving your credit score. But first, this week's big cheese is Freddie Kelly, CEO and co-founder at Credit Kudos, the London fintech trying to change the world of credit scoring. We were delighted to welcome Freddie to the Money Bites studio. But before that, Mike, why do you think your credit score matters?
Well, Nate, if you've ever tried to apply for a personal loan, a credit card, or even a mortgage, you probably know that your credit score really does matter. It's the number that helps other people or companies determine how creditworthy you really are. Or in other words, is lending you money risky or not? Credit scores matter because the higher your score is, the better the range of deals you'll have access to. So first up is Nate's interview with Credit Kudos.
We're delighted today to have Freddie Kelly, the co-founder and CEO of Credit Kudos in the Money Bites studio with us. Credit Kudos looks at more data than traditional credit agencies to gain a better understanding of a person's ability to manage credit. So hi, Freddie. Thanks for coming on to this week's podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Could you start off by explaining what is a credit score and why is it so important?
So a credit score is essentially your financial CV or resume. So it's a way of tracking and understanding your previous financial behavior such that when you're applying for a new financial product, the provider of that product can accurately measure your credit worthiness, so your likelihood to pay back the loan on time or to not go into arrears.
And how do lenders traditionally assess somebody's credit worthiness? And what does Credit Kudos do differently?
So there are basically a number of different companies called credit reference agencies or credit bureaus, you'll sometimes hear them referred to as, and they provide these financial resumes or CVs as a service. So typically, when you're applying for, say, a loan, the company that's lending you the money or potentially lending you the money will look up your information at one or more of these credit reference agencies. And those services will provide back to them a credit report. And that will contain information about whether you've taken out credit in the past, whether you've repaid it. It'll also look at things like your appetite for borrowing. So how many times you've searched for credit or applied or had that credit provided. And then also of your existing loan products, assuming you have some, how much you're using them. So, you know, for example, if I have a credit card, how much of the balance am I using? Am I paying it back? So on and so forth. The way Credit Kudos differs is to use new and alternative data in the measurement of your credit worthiness. And the reason that's important is for a lot of people, they basically don't have a thick enough or a accurate enough credit history from those traditional services. And that means they can often end up paying far more for what they apply for or indeed getting rejected entirely. And so we're leveraging something called open banking, which I'm sure we'll go on to more accurately and fairly measure a wider range of people such that they can apply for these products.
What kind of alternative data do you look at compared to, say, a traditional credit agency?
So whereas a traditional credit reference agency is looking at those measures I mentioned before, we're looking at open banking data. So for those of you who don't know, open banking is basically an initiative started in the UK a couple of years ago that allows, with permission, for certain authorised companies such as ourselves to access financial data from a current account or bank account provider. Obviously, this is with the explicit consent of consumers. So an example of that would be if you wanted to apply for a loan using our service, instead of that traditional process I mentioned that sort of happens in the background, we would say, okay, you can connect your online banking. So say you bank with, Barclays, you can collect that data. We'll basically take that information from your bank account. So a snapshot of your bank transactions, the same that you'd see on a bank statement. And then we analyze that and we use machine learning to basically extract useful data points from that set of information that the lender can then use to measure your credit worthiness. And that means that you're being measured against effectively your financial health rather than just your past borrowing performance and propensity to borrow. So if you're one of those people that is excluded by the sort of traditional measures, we can still allow you to borrow money at a fair rate without sort of having to go pay over the odds.
Okay, and that ties in nicely with the next question. So on a recent episode of Money Bites, we examined the poverty premium. And that's the idea that poorer people often have to pay more to access essential goods and services. So what role does traditional credit scoring play in the poverty premium and financial exclusion more generally? And what's Credit Kudos's contribution to kind of increase financial inclusion?
So the poverty premium is essentially the idea that those that are sort of most in need or sort of have the least sort of financial resilience end up paying more. So this can be across a wide range of sectors. So for example, people that don't have access to good digital skills or indeed access to the internet will end up paying for, you know, groceries at a higher rate or services at a higher rate. For example, electricity and heating, you know, they'll tend to be on top-up meter tariffs rather than prepaid tariffs or rolling contracts, which end up costing them more for the same service. And financial services and credit are no different. So for people that perhaps haven't sort of had that financial literacy or at least haven't had access to certain financial products will typically find that their credit scores are lower or indeed that they reflect them in a negative light. And that means that when they do have a financial shock or a burden, they need to turn to short-term borrowing methods that perhaps make them pay a much higher rate than, say, they would if they had a prearranged agreement or they had a lower cost credit card or something that they, you know, might not have access to. And so through using this new data set that we're leveraging, so open banking, we're working to provide credit to those types of customers that would ordinarily have to pay a higher rate or would be rejected. And depending on which data set you look at, that can be upwards of 5 to 10 million people in the UK. So a really huge portion of the population. We recently started working with the Treasury and Nesta, the government grants body, through what they're calling the Affordable Credit Challenge to help basically alternative lenders, so people like sort of credit unions and CDFIs, to provide new technology, new services, so namely our credit scoring system, to help them make those lending decisions for more and more people. So recently we've been working through this program with the Police Credit Union, for example, which to date have had a difficulty in serving certain pockets of their audience. So for example, people that serve in the military who have been overseas or have not had a registered address and have been living on barracks often find it hard to apply for credit because their credit file is typically linked to a physical address and they don't have that address to be able to apply for credit. And so using this open banking based process that Credit Kudos provides, they're now able to provide lending decisions to those customers where they'd previously be excluded.
I suppose one question is, when you widen the data that helps to determine affordability, is there a danger that you end up lending people too much? And how do you guard against this?
Well, actually, affordability is something that's historically been poorly or inaccurately measured. And so a lot of the change that we're instigating through the use of open banking data is increasing the accuracy of that process by using more up-to-date verified information to understand consumers, specifically their income, but more importantly their expenditure. So arguably the change in that process is actually more increasing the accuracy in affordability decisions. I do think that, you know, the more data you put into a decision, generally the more angles you can sort of measure from, the better you're going to make a decision and the more rigor you're adding. So for us, it's actually a huge positive for that process. I think if you look at sort of some of the guidance from the FCA most recently, that they've really talked about the role of affordability and creditworthiness being more of a sort of a hybrid versus a, you know, two binary decisions that are completely disjoint. And so underwriting on more and more data points is really sort of fulfilling on that viewpoint.
So credit scores, they're obviously really important. What are your top tips for somebody who's looking to improve their credit score?
So a traditional credit score is based on a number of factors that I touched upon before. So primarily past borrowing behavior. So whether you've taken out credit and repaid it on time. So it goes without saying that obviously if you don't pay things back on time or you default, then that leaves an impact on your credit score that will make it harder to borrow in future. There are some basic things you can do that, if you haven't done already, will make a difference. So for example, registering to vote, being on the electoral roll, gives a credit bureau, a traditional credit bureau, a good certainty of your identity and your information, which allows them to more easily match who you are when you are applying for a product. In addition, the utilization of credit is a huge factor. So if you have multiple accounts that are open that are not being used, that are just sort of sitting dormant, often that can create a negative impact on your credit worthiness. So we always look to people that are using the financial products that they have access to but aren't overusing them. So, you know, making sure they make payments each month on their credit cards, not holding balances month to month, things like that. And increasingly, affordability, as we just talked about, is becoming a factor in that decision. So your rate of expenditure versus income and that kind of analysis or ratio of your income versus the debts that you hold is an increasingly important factor. So making sure, and again, goes without saying that you're paying things off on time, but also you're not spending beyond your means and you're sort of demonstrating financial resilience, which is really important. So those are the kind of the really high level factors. With our process, with Credit Kudos, that a lot more emphasis is paid or a lot more attention is paid to financial behavior, because unlike traditional credit score, we have the granularity of viewing or understanding how day-to-day financial behavior affects loan performance and loan outcomes. And so we can start to influence the decision based on the sensible spending behaviors that we see in customer accounts and, you know, the resilience that's built up by saving money and things like that. So probably not saying anything that not people haven't heard before, but it's important to understand that all these factors are evaluated in unison. And so making sure that you've ticked all those boxes will definitely help you and increase your borrowing power in the future.
Now, consumers, they expect personalization. And I think it's fair to say that banking has still has some way to catch up on that front. Now, how do you think the Open Banking Initiative and solutions like Credit Kudos will change how individuals experience financial services?
I think the key change is actually the kind of data that's being used in the process, but B, how it's being used. And so traditionally, the credit bureau model we talked about at the start has been quite opaque. So most consumers will perhaps know that they have this thing called a credit score, but they don't know exactly who's in charge of it, how it's calculated, and where that data lives. And honestly, the companies that hold that information generally make money from that obscurity and that kind of entrenched model where they sit on this data. You don't necessarily sign up for these services. They just hold your information and sell it to lenders. What our business model is doing for that market is actually saying, with open banking, you've got this great opportunity to take ownership of your data and use it for your own positive outcome. So rather than, you know, another company making money out of how you choose to apply for credit and what that decision looks like, you can exchange your data securely for a period of time in order to get the best possible interest rate or the highest likelihood of acceptance. So that kind of move from, you know, data being owned by this sort of faceless organization to you owning your data and transacting with real transparency is the big change for us. And I think if you look at what's going on now with the Open Finance Initiative, we're starting to see the idea of this spread to other forms of data. So open banking, if you like, it has made a framework by which organizations, big financial organizations, can share data securely with regulated parties such as ourselves. But now, you know, there's no reason to say that doesn't extend to maybe tax information or pension information or, you know, other utilities or things that you, organizations you transact with, that you can use to show your credibility. So that's, I think, the next step. And one of the reasons I started this business was when I actually was trying to find a place to rent in London, and I was having to prove that I was going to be able to pay just the deposit and also be able to pay the monthly rent. And that it was very difficult to prove. I'd just moved to the country and it was very difficult to prove that I had this stability in my income to be able to do that. So this is a perfect example of how now, actually, because I have this data and it belongs to me, I can transact and get a better deal as a result.
Now, where can our listeners find out more about Credit Kudos?
So creditkudos.com. We're also Credit Kudos on Twitter and pretty much every other social network that I can think of. Not TikTok, but maybe we'll get there one day.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks again for joining us, Freddie. It's been great having you on, and we look forward to seeing all Credit Kudos has to offer in the future.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Check my file.
Hello. I'm calling, as word on the street is that you guys... you sit atop the mountain of the credit score game. And I thought to myself, Samuel, who better to call in regards to getting a new credit score? So there it is. That's where I am this Tuesday evening. So I'd like, if possible, one of your best credit scores, please.
Okay, we're an online service, so if you wanted to get a credit report through us, you would need to register online as a customer. We can't do it over the phone for you.
Oh, I see.
But you can do that on our website, checkmyfile.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen. The thing is, I've actually had a look at my apparent credit score from one of your competitors. And frankly, the number was, it was abject. It was so low, you couldn't get a mouse to limbo under the thing. If it were a person's age, the young man, he wouldn't be old enough to do his darn O-levels. Now, I was hoping I could buy one of the credit scores you offer, perhaps a 999, a 998, worst case scenario, 997. And then this would solve my credit score issues, yes?
Well, you can't purchase a score. The score is based on the credit history on your credit report. And a 999 score isn't something we tend to give out. It's quite hard to get a score that high. It would be based on the information that's on your credit report.
Well, you see, now I'm in a bit of a bunker because that wouldn't work at all for me. You know, I need to be granted loans fast, immediately, to satisfy my leather trinket addiction or my Ferrero Rocher habit. So that's it. We're sure you can't give me one of those sweet 999 credit scores? It can't be done.
No, as I say, your credit score was based on the information on your credit report, so we wouldn't know unless we see the information.
Next up, as promised, the Money Bites team are here to provide you with 5 top tips on how to improve your credit score. Do you want to start us off, Mike?
Sure thing, Nate. So at number one, the very easiest action you can take to solidify your credit score is to jump onto the electoral roll. Now, even if you're renting or living with your parents, do it. It's really easy to tick it off and it will help to improve your credit score.
Now, our second top tip is monitoring how thick or thin that credit file of yours is. Say you're new to the UK and haven't applied for credit before. Your file will be very thin and you're less likely to get better deals. Think about taking out a credit card to start building your credit history. Just remember to pay it back in full and avoid paying interest.
Next up, it's really important to try and pay your bills on time and not just for the financial stuff. We know that unpaid phone bills are really common, but they, along with any other types of unpaid bills, make it look like you're not going to pay back your credit. And of course, that can be viewed quite negatively by most companies.
For our fourth tip, we're reminding you not to apply for lots of new loans or credit cards all in one go. This is often used as a flag to highlight that you may be too dependent on credit, which marks you out as high risk. We've all heard the term maxing out my credit cards, but this too is likely to be viewed negatively and a sign that you may not be able to manage any new credit applications.
And finally, check your credit score. There's loads of free services like ClearScore that allow you to view your credit report. Give them a go and make sure that there aren't any errors on your credit file because they could be working to lower your credit score. If you do spot anything that you don't think is accurate, you'll need to contact the relevant credit reference agency and work with them to update your file. Now remember, a credit score takes time to improve, and while there's no magic bullet, these 5 tips are really worth thinking about if you want to ensure that your score is as healthy as possible.
And that's all the time we have for this week's Money Bites. Thanks to Freddie Kelly of Credit Kudos for joining us. Please do remember to review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.